good to be with you, especially on All Saints and All Souls. We celebrate that, and lest I forget and don't say this along the way to the musicians and the choristers. Wow. Fabulous. I've enjoyed it so far. I look forward to what's to come. A very technical definition of a saint is this: to be canonized by the church, usually accomplished through an infallible decree by the Pope. And that is true, but it's hardly what All Saints Day is referring to. We're not talking about that today, gathering up all of those recognized saints, even the obscure ones that are recognized. And there are some strange saints out there. There's a patron saint of sexually transmitted diseases, a patron saint of those who fear mice. There is Saint Polycarp, who is the patron saint against dysentery. Well, I have one question. Do you know anyone who's for dysentery? There is Saint Isidore of Seville, who reputedly wrote the first encyclopedia. He is now in hot contention to become the patron saint of the internet. Saint Drogo, a Flemish nobleman who was reportedly able to bilocate, maintaining his presence in two locations at once. Man, I need that. Witnesses claim seeing Drogo working in fields simultaneously and going to Mass every Sunday. Now, make this leap with me. He's the patron saint of coffee and coffee houses. One can only suspect because of his peculiar talent for multitasking. He's also the patron saint of those whom others find unspeakably repulsive, but that's another story and sermon altogether. St. Anthony the Great, an Egyptian Christian monk who lived in a tomb for some years to overcome the temptation of, quote, boredom, laziness, and the phantoms of women, and thus is known, among other things, as the patron saint of grave diggers. St. Lawrence of Rome, having been martyred by being roasted alive on a gridiron, is the patron saint of cooks and tanners. And it just gets worse. There is patron saint of mad dogs, of juvenile delinquents, and convulsive children. You see, it can get really crazy with this whole saint thing. Those saints are not really the point of this day. This day is a day to honor all the saints, known and unknown. And that second group, the unknown, this particularly is their day. And even though we call them unknown, and some probably are truly unknown by any human, most all of us have known them. And even more, all of us are called to be one. That may be the most daunting part of this day. It's easier to admire one than be called on to be one. In my former parish, before becoming your bishop, St. James Austin, one of the saints of God I will never forget is a woman named Georgetta, who would greet everyone at the door every Sunday with a smile, a hug, a gift bag, whatever you needed. If you came there expecting not to be touched, you were in trouble. And I'm not exaggerating. Every Sunday, every time those doors were open during the week, funerals, weddings, you name it, I used to kid her that she actually lived in the closet down the hall because she was always there when I got there. There are more people going to that church now who will tell you that they were first greeted by Georgetta and that because of that greeting, they're now members. When Greg Garrett wrote his book entitled Crossing Myself, largely based on his experience of St. James, he cited Georgetta and her warm welcome as the first person he met when he came there. She was always and will always be a saint to me. In the Holy Land, we often sit with two men, both fathers, who both lost daughters in that conflict, one a Jew and the other a Palestinian, for no other reason than the fact that they've been bonded by the horrific deaths of their children. They have become friends and talk to groups all throughout the year together. They insist there is nothing godly about the war and the division there, and they vow to be friends, no matter who confronts them, and many do, just on account of their willingness to walk with each other. They are saints to me. Saints are all around us. Saints are sitting right next to you. The potential for being such a person is in all of us. That's the point of today. I just got back from New Orleans on Friday, seeing my son who's going to school there, and being the keynote speaker at Trinity Church. On Friday, before I left, as driving, weaving through the town of New Orleans, I pulled over to watch a brass band leading the family of a deceased person playing When the Saints Go Marching In. And there is that famous tradition in New Orleans that when such a band goes by, if you're so called, you just jump in behind and you follow along, singing and dancing and forming what they call the second line. That's the perfect image when the saints go marching in. It's not just about the person who has died, but everyone who joins that line. They are all saints. Now, I wasn't sure if you were aware of this or not, but Tuesday there's a big election in our country. You did know that, right? I'm going to use this line just one more time this year, but I've been reminded more this year than any other what Jim Hightower of Texas once said, that if God had intended for us to have elections, he would have given us candidates. I saw a short piece on one of the nightly news programs this past week of an African-American pastor being asked by the reporter, "So are you going to preach about the election this Sunday?" And I'm quite sure the reporter has no clue it's All Saints Sunday, and maybe even the pastor for that matter. It was a denomination that really doesn't follow this celebration that much. And the pastor's answer was yes. And of course the reporter asked, "So what are you going to say?" He said, "I'm going to ask my congregation to go and to vote, and I'm going to remind them that when they do, they should never forget that they carry not just themselves to the polls, but they carry Harriet Tubman to the polls, and Sojourner Truth when they go, and Martin Luther King Jr. when they enter that voting booth, and all those in every generation who gave themselves to this cause and this country we call the USA." He never mentioned All Saints Day, but he had just put it so beautifully anyway. We carry so many different people that have gone before us when we participate in an act such as voting. We carry those famous who we knew and countless others we never will, who have given for the hope of liberation and equality and peace. I suspect many allusion will be made to this election this Sunday in pulpits across the country. Some will be very direct, and some won't be so direct. And it is indeed ironic, or maybe the word is appropriate, that this is the day we celebrate All Saints and All Souls. I don't think any set of readings we've had of late fly in the face of this election process we've been living through more than these for today. The world described in these readings is hardly recognizable in the sound bites, on the TV, in the debates, on the television ads. I suspect no matter what happens this Tuesday, we have not heard the end of this either. The low groan of dissension, condescension, and blatant hostility is becoming the norm, not just in elections, but every day. In his first inaugural address, the Civil War raging, Abraham Lincoln ended his address with these words, "I am loath to close. We are not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies, though passion may have strained it, must not break our bonds of affection. The mystic cords of memory stretching from every battlefield and patriot grave to every living heart and heartstone all over this broad land will yet swell the chorus of the Union when again touched, as surely they will be, by the better angels of our nature." The better angels of our nature is what All Saints Day and the celebration of it is all about. We need them now more than ever. But not only those from the past, but even more within each of us today. We're called to remember saints who have gathered around Jesus in every time and place. People with needs and hopes. People who caught at least a glimpse of a world more fully God-shaped than the one they lived in. Many will have names only for a few of us, but most will not. And yet, without them, we would not be here today. On the eve of this election, All Saints and All Souls Day also remind us that this is about the future as well. All Saints is not just about looking back, about looking to all those who have gone before. No, in fact, it is only about looking back so that we might look forward, so that we might join the second line, bringing the better angels of our nature joyfully dancing our way together, and not have that nature buried in the recesses of our discontent with a world that can never be our salvation. All Saints reminds us of our reliance on a God that overcomes all the failings of our human-made heaven, which is no heaven at all. On this day, we are reminded that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Nothing. And we are reminded that we are called not only to revere the saints of the past, the saints we know, but instead to become the saints that God wishes us to be, so that this world might be transformed by our better angels, and as such, a truer reflection of the kingdom God hopes for us. May it be so. My sisters and brothers, I have said these words to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.